violence in the heart of Texas.
Wait, what hairbrush is that?
This? It's my Tangle Teaser. Total game changer.
Okay, but your hair always looks good. Mine breaks every time I brush it.
Yeah, that was me before this thing. It has this wild two-tiered teeth thing going on. It detangles without yanking.
No tugging, even wet?
Especially wet. I use it straight out of the shower. No knots, no drama. And bonus, it actually feels good.
That's honestly impressive. I just thought all brushes were the same.
They're not. This one was made with hair health in mind. Any type. Fine, curly, coily. It's kind of obsessed with being gentle.
Well, now I'm obsessed. Where did you get it?
Amazon. Here. See? And if you use promo code TANGLE10 off, you'll save 10%.
Okay, sold.
Told you. Bad hair days don't stand a chance.
Tangle Teaser. Detangling without the drama. Say bye-bye to bad hair days. Find Tangle Teaser on Amazon.com and use promo code TANGLE10 off to save 10%. That's Tangle Teaser on Amazon.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. As demolition of the east wing of the White House continues to make way for President Trump's new ballroom, that ballroom project will be privately funded. And responding to questions about the speed of the demolition and the sources of funding, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said,
"The president has been incredibly transparent. I would reject any notion otherwise when it comes to this ballroom project. It's something he personally has obviously taken an interest into."
President pardoned one of crypto's richest men, the Binance founder known as CZ, who pled guilty to charges the company failed to keep criminals from using the platform. Changpeng Zhao has lobbied for a pardon and supports the Trump family's crypto venture. President Trump says he will not send troops to San Francisco this weekend after speaking to the city's mayor. An NBA player, Terry Rozier, and Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups were among more than 30 people arrested in an alleged mafia-backed illegal gambling ring. This is ABC News. The man accused of starting the deadly Palisades fire in January is back in Southern California and will be in court today. Jonathan Rinderknecht will be arraigned this afternoon. The Florida resident was arrested earlier this month. Tragedy for an Illinois politician who's running to be the state's next governor.
State Senator Darren Bailey lost to J.B. Pritzker in the 2022 Illinois governor's race, but he's running for the Republican nomination again next year. On Wednesday night, he found out that four members of his family, his son, daughter-in-law, and two of his grandchildren, died in a Montana helicopter crash. J.B. Pritzker asked about it at a news conference in Chicago.
"This is not a time for politics. This is just a time to recognize that you know, losing a child is, I don't know, one of the hardest things ever."
Bailey's third child, a 10-year-old boy, was not in the helicopter at the time of the crash. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
History at the Vatican, where King Charles met Pope Leo, the first time an English king and pope met in centuries. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Whatever your vision for holiday decorating, the Home Depot has what you need to bring it to life. Like our warm white holiday lights with steady lit technology, so your lights stay glowing even if one bulb fails. Whether you're going for a soft warm glow or a colorful display of holiday cheer, choose from our wide variety of holiday lights starting at $5 in store only. Find everything you need to get your holidays started with the Home Depot.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen, I'm Raymond Newpert. Legislation to prohibit foreign adversaries from acquiring Wisconsin agricultural land had a hearing this week. We get more from Bob Haig.
Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair Representative Travis Tranel questioned the bill's authors.
How many acres in Wisconsin are currently owned by foreign entities?
Representative William Panterman said, according to USDA, 2.6% or roughly 600,000 acres is owned by foreign persons.
It is difficult to tell exactly how much is foreign
or owned by the foreign adversaries as would be defined in the bill.
While it doesn't specify countries, Penterman and Senator André Jacques named Communist China as their main concern.
The State Department of Justice says a man killed in a standoff in Washoe County likely died from officer gunfire. Mike Leishner has more.
Investigation shows 51-year-old Timothy Lehman likely died after being hit by gunfire from Washoe County Deputy Alex Midthune, now on administrative leave. The incident started with a call about a domestic disturbance earlier this month and escalated after Lehman barricaded himself in the home and started shooting.
An accused killer who was a person of interest in the 1995 death of an Iowa TV anchor is now linked to the murder of a woman in central Wisconsin. Bob Fisher has more from Iowa.
Authorities of Wood County, Wisconsin say DNA has positively linked suspect Chris Revac to the slaying of 21-year-old Deidre Harm after a night out at a Wisconsin Rapids bar in 2006. DNA also links Revac to the murder of 36-year-old Renee Williams of Ava, Missouri in 2007. Revac, who is originally from the Wisconsin Rapids area, was arrested for Williams' murder and killed himself in a Missouri jail cell while awaiting trial.
Revac was considered a suspect in several other unsolved cases. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny skies into your Thursday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the lower 50s. Frigid tonight, mostly clear skies and light winds. Will be in the mid-20s to start your Friday. By afternoon, sunshine, mid-50s. The bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. Currently 44 degrees.
Big day in the grain markets. Corn, soybean, and wheat futures all sliced through resistance to post solid gains and to open additional upside price potential. The buying's into the cotton market, but lean hog futures lower, feeder cattle lower, and live cattle ended the day mixed.
Live from the biggest day so far today ever, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTech. This afternoon, we'll chat with Sean Hackett from Hackett Financial Advisors. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Kip Laurie.
Man, oh man, that snuck right up on me there, buddy.
Yeah, kind of did.
Yeah, it did. Well,
we got you now, though. Yeah, we got you locked.
Yeah, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're all good. We're looking, I don't know how we're looking. I'm feeling good. You?
You look fantastic. I can tell you that. Anyone who happens to be watching on Farm Journal TV, which you ought to be, by the way.
Yeah, why not?
And you know what? I had my sweater this morning. I decided to stick with it all day. I see you got your fuzzy vest on. You're feeling a little too comfortable.
It's chilly in the bunker. That's all I'm going to say.
Adjust my camera just a little. Yeah, go on.
And I am too cheap to go full force with the heating unit down here in the basement. I'm going to have to cut some wood or something.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all good. Hey. Hey. Yeah, big day in the grain markets. It's not like we saw runaway gains in each of the markets, but the markets started to push through resistance levels. It was a general tide rising and lifting all boats kind of day. And felt good. To see what is going on in there.
Good.
We'll get some perspective on what it might mean for us going forward from Oliver coming up here in just a couple of moments. And then we got Sean Hackett.
This will be good.
You bet. Not only are we going to be talking about market outlook, but we're going to get into some of the weather outlook and what it might mean for us going forward. So looking forward to the update. update from Sean. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and get to the markets.
Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures posted a low range open and ended the session near the high of the day. Today's close in front month SRW was the first above 510 since October 6th. But chart watchers point out the market is still caught in a sideways trading range. Yeah. Shorter term, today's close was above the downtrend drawn off the September 17 and September 26 highs. That should help the market build some upside momentum. Another Thursday passed with a reminder the government is shut down. The weekly export sales report not released this morning. Buying in wheat was capped by the International Grain Council's global wheat production estimate of 827 million metric tons. That's up 8 million from its previous peg. December HRW wheat futures today 11.5 cents higher at $5 even. December SRW wheat up 9.25 to 513. December spring wheat closed at 558, up 10.25 cents, Chip.
I'm not exactly sure why the wheat market didn't take that IGC number a little rougher than what it did, except for the fact that we have been talking about no problems globally with the wheat crop, and now this IGC number just kind of confirms it. Mm. Now we go up on you know, the confirming the fact that there's not much of a problem out there.
Well, December corn futures have closed higher in 7 of the past 8 trading days, and today's rally pushed through resistance at the top of the 3-week sideways trading range. December corn spiked resistance at the September 25 high and closed at the highest level since September 16. Chart watchers looking for a test resistance at the September 16 high of 431 and a quarter. A lack of farmer selling as corn harvest progresses is limiting hedge pressure on corn. Traders are also taking note of heavy rains on a harvest-ready corn crop in China's Yellow River Basin and the North China Plain. December corn futures were a nickel higher today at 428. March corn up 5.5 to 441 and a quarter. May corn futures closed at 449 and a quarter. That's up 5.75 cents. Man, 431 and a quarter, just a heartbeat away, Chip.
Yeah, it certainly is. And then that gets us all the way back to that resistance at the, I believe it was the July 7th downside price gap, that coming out of the 4th of July, that price gap. We're knocking on the door.
Zing. December soybean oil opened on session lows. We're trading moderately higher at mid-morning to help support soybean prices. Soybean meal futures were lower at mid-morning but joined the rally to push bean prices to a high-range close. November beans closed at the highest level since September 17. Novi beans have closed higher in 6 of the past 7 sessions, Chip. A lack of farmer selling during harvest has limited selling. Traders are also holding out hope the U.S. and Chinese trade talks this week in Malaysia will create an opportunity for President Trump and China's leader to reach an overall agreement by the end of next week. Novi beans a dime higher, 1044 and three quarters. Jan beans up 12, 1062. March beans closed at 1075 and a quarter. That's right, up 12.25 cents.
Yeah, December bean oil today was up 80 points, and December bean meal up $2.30. So even the products were involved.
December cotton today, 33 points higher at 64.07. To the livestocks, Dease Fat Cattle posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a close just above the opening range. Choice graded boxed beef prices were $1.83 higher, but the market volatility is driven mostly by traders trying to make sense of the messages from the Trump administration. Dease Fat Cattle $1.35 higher, 241.17 and a half. Novi feeders closed on the low of the day, 277 and one half lower, 361.45. And lean hogs fell through support at Monday's low, closed at the lowest level since August 14. These hogs 62 and a half lower, 81.77 and a half, Chip.
All right, thank you very much. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
I'm doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. You know what? I want to go to corn. That was a nice move that we are seeing in this corn market, isn't it?
Really, really nice move, especially after, what was that, Tuesday, where we rejected trend line resistance. And then thankfully yesterday we were able to defend the 20-day moving average and those lows from Tuesday, which brought us back towards trend line resistance. And today finally able to chew through that. And as you had mentioned, the next upside objective here is that July 7th gap that we partially filled. last month, and that comes in here 430 to 432. So a lot of good momentum in the grain markets, and I think you hit the nail on the head as well when you talk about kind of these markets working in tandem with each other. That's when they work the best. Instead of one fighting the other, they're all rising together. That's certainly encouraging to see, and I think, you know, opens the door for some newfound optimism in the grain markets here going forward.
Amen to that. Amen. You got the cattle trade figured out?
Yeah. It's very headline driven, and we know that these headlines are very, very unpredictable. I was on with Michelle last week kind of talking about the headline risks out there. And I think one thing that, you know, people with physical risk have to remember is that, you know, we've got record high prices and the administration is telling you they want lower beef prices. If that is not a sign to take protective action, I don't know what would be. Whether or not the steps that they take are going to be, you know, implemented right away and having an effect right away, that can be debated. But we know that this administration likes to get the headlines, and so you got to be, you know, aware of future headline risk to come.
Yeah. Who would have thought that a black swan was going to take flight out of the White House on this cattle trade? I mean, it blows me away. Blows me away. Oliver, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Sean Hackett, up next here on AgriTalk.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, PowerCore and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. LoveLost is a free, easy-to-use database utilizing photo matching technology to search participating shelter partners and social platforms to bring pets home. Simply upload a photo to report a lost or found pet to the largest free lost and found database, or pre-register your pet today so you're ready if the unthinkable happens. With over 100,000 reunions and counting, LoveLost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions, connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers, and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Man, I look forward to these conversations. Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors. How are you, Sean? It's good to talk to you again.
Always grateful to be on your show, Chip, and looking forward to a spirited discussion, as always.
As always, buddy. You know, I feel a little bit like this is looking back, but in reality, I think it's a real-time update. Are you want to wrap up harvest and what you're thinking as far as the national average yields on corn and soybeans go?
We had put out a forecast in August, given the weather that took place, that we would see corn yields under 180. Nothing we've heard from our swath of customers have changed that idea. And so I think ultimately whenever the USDA can report yields again, I think we're going to be getting down to that 180 or less and a 1.5 billion bushel carryout, give or take. Soybeans, I'm not as optimistic of much of a fall. The yields are kind of mixed. I think we could come down maybe one bushel to the acre maximum, but I'm thinking more maybe a half a bushel maybe. I don't see as much downside risk to the soybean yield as I do the corn yield at this point. So my bet is on corn yields coming down much lower. I think that's going to be a big driver as we approach the end of the year and into the first quarter.
Okay. I think there's probably people that are saying, listen, I can buy the drop to a 180 on a national average corn yield. I don't know if I go along with the drop to a 1.5 million bushel, excuse me, billion bushel corn carryover. That the idea being something that we've seen from USDA many times. If you knock down your supply side, they're going to tear down some on the demand side, won't they, Sean?
Hard to imagine they could chop down demand with corn prices this undervalued, this attractive, and this economical. They could, but ultimately it's going to show up in lower corn grain stocks. They're going to finagle the numbers later, but I think when it's all said and done, that's the number we're going to be dealing with, whether they take their time to come up with or not. As you know, sometimes they do, you know, kind of gradually get to the right number over time.
Well, you go back 1 year ago, and we were looking at a corn carryover projection that I don't know exactly what it was, but I do know that it was higher than the 1.5 that we ended up at.
Well, that last year we were projecting 2.1 billion bushel carryout, and we ultimately came down to 1.35. We had projected 1.5 last year around, and, you know, we were wrong. It was too high. So I'm very excited about a very tight corn market going in to our next growing season. And I don't think we're going to plant 99 million acres of corn next year. And so that leaves next year's crop progression or, you know, crop season with a lot greater risk than we had this past season when you plant so many acres.
Okay. All right. Talk to me about bean demand, and this of course is going to get us into the conversation about trade negotiations with China, but can we get some back, Sean?
The way I'm framing it for our customers, Chip, is that whether we can get them back or not, if they can stockpile soybeans if they want, they can buy as many soybeans as they want. They could cancel orders with Brazil if they want. I mean, they could kind of do anything they want with the number one buyer of Brazilian soybeans. If they say, we're going to cancel some orders, what is Brazil going to do? Nothing. So my feeling is they can buy as many soybeans as they feel they need to buy to cut a trade deal they feel is in their best interest to do so, at least on a short-term basis, like they did back in 2019. Now, they didn't buy for forever, and they didn't actually fulfill the requirements of the deal, but they did give us one heck of a tailwind for the first 6 months that gave producers a great pricing opportunity, and the hope is we might see something like that happen again.
Okay. How important is this trade deal with China to the balance sheet? I mean, to the psyche of the market, I think it's huge. How much of a real impact does it have on the balance sheet?
From the current export numbers that we have from the USDA in September, we don't really think there's much risk to the downside. Meaning, if they buy all their soybeans from Brazil and you look at the production that they had and you look how much they would have left for the rest of the world and you look at what we would export to the rest of the world, the export numbers the USDA has won't change much. And we don't need the Chinese to save the export number from falling. We think it's as low as it's going to get. Now, that doesn't help if we don't cut a trade. Like you said, a short-term reaction. We could get a hit in the market. But the balance sheet, the way I see it right now, is rock solid. And the only thing that a trade deal does is it can cause a quick tightening or fear of a dramatic tightening of a market that can't really tighten much without getting into a lot of trouble. And so
I think, Sean, I want to make sure that I'm hearing you clear. Because I think what I'm hearing is even if we get the deal done, don't look for USDA to add, you know, 200 million bushels to that export estimate, because that it's just not going to happen.
Well, if what happened the last time is indicative, they will buy a lot in the beginning, show good faith, you know, act like they're going to, you know, deliver on the deal. But I don't think in the long term the Chinese have any interest in buying grains from us in the long term in any large size. I think they're only going to do it strategically for trade deals, or if they really, really absolutely positively have to. And I don't really think this is a change in the overall demand base from China. I just think it's a blip that we can take advantage of, but I don't think it changes the long-term price fundamentals of corn or soybeans or cotton for that matter.
Okay. Okay, so with all of this happening out there, Sean, the markets are going about their business. They're trading. We're actually seeing some volume come back into the grains. The performance today, you know, across the board, the way that the entire grain complex lifted made me feel really good. Am I overstating how good we should feel about today?
No, the charts look fantastic, Chip. You know, all the technicals are turning up, all, you know, breaking through some moving averages. And I do think we're going to do a trade deal. I think Trump needs a trade deal. I think he needs a win going into the midterm elections. And I think he knows we're very vulnerable in the rare earth metal side, that we really can't afford not to at least cause peace until we can find sources of those rare earth metals through more domestic or other sources. So I think on a number of fronts, he needs a win, and I think he can get a win, and he has to accept maybe a deal that won't look like he won, but of course he can claim a victory anyway. Yeah. I think he needs that. We're going to get that, and the markets are starting to gain confidence that we're going to probably get that. Bessent is a pretty straightforward guy. He's saying he expects to do something. I think it's going to happen, and there'll be a great selling opportunity here, Chip, depending on how the exact details of the deal going forward. I think there's a good selling opportunity. Finally, the first one since the first quarter of earlier this year.
Where do you think that selling opportunity is going to come in, Sean? You know, price-wise.
When I look at the 1-year, 3-year, and 5-year moving averages, they all come in between the 1080 and 1150 on the soybean price. Let's say the January soybean price. And when I'm looking at corn, they're all coming in that 460 to 490 area. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean ultimately we can't break through those levels, but I think those are going to be very, very strong levels that farmers are going to sell a lot of grain. Because even though that's not the greatest price we've ever seen, that does pencil out on the balance sheet a heck of a lot better than it does today. And so I think you're going to have to eat through a lot of farmer selling at those technical levels before we can break through. And I don't think it will. And I think that will be the opportunity to move some old crop grain, make some bankers happy, and pay some bills.
Man, I tell you what, if that happens, Sean, and it's easy. I don't know if I should say it that way or not, but that you can make that case that we could see those prices on March corn, January beans. That's going to give us a decent selling opportunity on 26 crop too, shouldn't it?
It will give us a good price on 2026. I am a little less excited about overselling the forward curve. On that regard, I think one should bank the money, fill the balance sheet up with cash, and I think that there's a better bet on higher prices later next year that I would be willing to be a little more light on selling 2026. Even though upper fours and mid-11s is a better price than we've seen, I still don't think those are the best prices we're going to see later on in 2026.
Okay, I love that, how you said that. Don't oversell the forward curve on it. I think that's an important lesson. And what you followed up with certainly makes me wonder what you're looking at and what you are seeing that might suggest better selling opportunities in 2026. And, of course, we are going to get to that next in the conversation. I want to talk about your winter outlook. I want to talk about what you are seeing in South America for growing conditions, what you expect to see, and, of course, what kind of an impact that might have on the markets. Sean Hackett here on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 11.5 cents higher at $5 even. December SRW wheat up 9.25 to 5.13. December corn futures were a nickel higher at 4.28. March corn up 5.5 to 4.41 1/4. November soybeans a dime higher today, 10.44 3/4. March beans closed at 10.75 1/4. That's up 12.25 cents. December cotton today, 33 points higher at 64.07. Over to the livestocks, December fat cattle were $1.35 higher at 241.17 1/2. Novi feeders, $2.77 1/2 lower at 361.45. And December lean hogs, 62.5 cents lower at 81.77 1/2. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny skies into your Thursday afternoon. Northwest winds and highs in the lower 50s. Frigid tonight, mostly clear skies and light winds will be in the mid-20s to start your Friday. By afternoon, sunshine, mid-50s. The bathroom you always wanted, interest and payment free for 18 months. Call Bath Planet at 800-329-4115. Currently 44 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. All we need
is a July. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip.
It's Thursday afternoon already. Holy smokes, we're steamrolling into the end of the week in a conversation with Sean Hackett from Hackett Financial Advisors. Okay, Sean, let's get into some weather conversation here, because I gotta believe some of this weather that you might see happening is behind some of the comments that you just made at the end of the last segment about better selling opportunities ahead. Am I right on that?
Certainly, weather's always a factor, Chip, and I do feel that there's some choke points that are coming up in the next growing cycle that I think we need to watch very closely, especially if our balance sheets are substantially tighter than they were a year ago. We have much, much lower margin for error here.
Okay. Let's stay up front here and talk a little bit about what you see in the north, in the northern hemisphere for this winter.
We're expecting that we could have a top five cold winter. Last year, we had a top 10 cold winter. The big difference this year is we have a warm North Pacific and a cold North Atlantic. The last time that we had that setup was in the winter of 2013-2014. It doesn't happen very often. It's a pretty rare combination. And as long as we're more in what's called a neutral kind of ENSO state, which we will be in the winter time, it does tend to create the upper airflow pattern that brings those polar vortexes into the center east of the country and creates that super cold type of winter that, that we get from time to time.
How certain are you on that? I don't like that at all, Sean.
I mean, in weather forecasting, there's no guarantees. Things can always change. But I'm about as certain as I can possibly be. I went back and looked at every single time we had this setup. And the worst case scenario is a top 10 cold winter, meaning we never had a winter that was not at least top 10. The key is, can it be a top five or can it be a top three? 2013-14 was a top one cold winter for that season. I can't say for sure if we're going to get something like that quite yet until we get further into the season. But I'm very comfortable with very cold winter, substantially higher natural gas prices, and what that could mean carrying over into the U.S. spring planting season.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we get there, let's talk about your thoughts on this South American growing season. It's right here and right in front of us right now. What are you thinking?
As you know, Chip, it's a tale of two different growing cycles. The first half of the growing cycle is the soybean cycle for Brazil. And as long as the center north is in good shape, it's hard to not have a good crop in Brazil. We think we're going to have good weather in that November, December timeframe. We don't think we're going to see any major issues with Brazilian soybean production. And given that soybean production in Brazil is 170 million metric tons now versus 50 for Argentina, what happens in Brazil doesn't stay in Brazil, and that's really the crop to watch, and I don't think we're going to have a weather issue there. If we're going to have dry weather for soybeans, it would be southern Brazil and Argentina, but you're just not going to get a big weather rally out of that area anymore because the north is just too big.
Yeah, that's interesting. You go back to one of the last times that we had a setup like this, and we lost a chunk of beans out of Argentina, but what I hear you saying is Argentina matters, but it may not move the needle for the U.S. market.
Yeah, think of it this way. If the crop's down 20%, that's 10 million metric tons lost production in Argentina, and yet they're producing 170 million metric tons in Brazil. You know, they're up or down 5%. That means a heck of a lot more. It's just everything matters. But I don't think it moves the dial for the U.S. price. It's got to be Brazil. It's got to be northern Brazil. I don't see that. Where I do see the weather problem is in the second half of the growing season, where we grow 75% of the second crop corn. And I believe we could have significant dry, unfair weather. And if I was looking for a market mover out of South America and Brazil, it's the second crop corn, not the first crop soybeans.
Okay. All right. Fair enough there. Fair enough there. You know, all of this and the outlook and everything, I had a listener send me a question yesterday, and I thought it was really, I feel like it's insightful. it seems like the market, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just I'm going from memory here. But his bottom line was, if a factor is going to move the price of corn, soybeans, and wheat in this market, it's a punch in the face kind of a market. There's no subtleties to it where we might lose 20 million metric tons of beans out of southern Brazil this growing season. That doesn't have much of an impact on trade right now. Do you have that feeling, that opinion, Sean?
Absolutely. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the South and Argentina had a huge difference to the global trade and the global fundamentals. But where we stand today, as big as Brazil gets, and they're getting bigger every year, it just, if you're looking for that area to move the corn market materially or the soybean market materially, I think you're going to be grossly disappointed. In fact, a couple of years ago when they had half a crop in Argentina, we got a modest rally out of soybeans and corn, and then the market rolled over, and everyone was shocked why we didn't get a bigger move. That's why.
Yeah. Gotcha. Too wet in China right now on a mature corn crop, a harvest-ready corn crop in a lot of places. Does that give you any concern?
I've never, ever seen corn and soybeans rally on Chinese weather, simply because no one really has any idea what's going on there. It's a black box. What the people do about China is they watch what they do, they watch what they're buying, and their crop is in trouble, and they start putting some orders in for U.S. corn. That's what's going to move the market. Weather just does not move the market, at least not in China. So I think it's something to worry about, but we need to watch for Chinese demand, and only Chinese demand, to move the market, not the weather itself.
Yeah, I'm with you. For it to be a fact, China doesn't have a crop problem unless it turns into more demand for U.S. corn or soybeans or wheat. That's the way that this market is trading things right now. I don't think there's any question about that. Hey, let's jump over to livestock. Hackett, what is happening out of the White House, and you know, with the comments about what's happening in the cattle and the beef markets?
I mean, I think they're scared to death about the holidays coming up and everyone paying extremely high prices for beef and the inflation. And, you know, Trump's been a big thing about, you know, I've reduced the inflation that Biden created. And, of course, beef has not occurred on beef. And so I think, you know, when he comes out and makes a public statement down the cattle price down, they are very much worried about that eye test as we approach the holidays. And even though I do not think that the Argentina story has any legs to it, I do think that Lula meeting with President Trump in about a week, reducing that 50% tariff on imported beef, could be the Louisville slugger that finally takes this cattle market down a notch. I don't think the Argentina deal is anything more than a one-off at this point, an overreaction. I don't think that's going to move the dial. To move the dial, we need Brazil to start flooding our market with beef again like they used to.
Odds of that happening?
Extremely high, in my opinion. I don't believe Lula, who mentioned just a month ago how he hated Trump. And
oh, no. Did we lose Sean? Did we lose me?
Trump indicated how he hated Lula.
Nope, and there, Sean.
They're going to cut a deal. They're going to reduce
the tariff. Hey, Sean, you cut out on us there for a second. I want you to go back and start it, because I think it's important. Start it where you said it wasn't that long ago that Lula came out and said how much that he disliked President Trump.
Yeah, both sides went out of their way to tell each other how they hated each other's guts. And I literally mean that's what they were saying. And now they love each other. I respect each other. We're going to meet in Malaysia next week. I believe it's highly likely they're going to cut a trade deal. Trump needs to get beef prices down optically. And just think, like, coffee prices, exorbitantly high. We import all that coffee from Brazil. He needs to show his policies are bringing prices down at the consumer level and that his tariff policies are working. He needs a few wins, and he better get them or else he's going to lose the House and the Senate in the midterm elections, the way these things typically go.
This is fascinating. How does a cattle guy use this kind of... Oh, man, we're running short of time. What does all of this mean for the cattle market?
You have to protect. You absolutely have to lock in this price through the cash sales, LRP. Find a way to lock in this price. The powers that be are telling you they want this market down, and they will find a way to get it down. And, you know, we're not going to continue to have this perfect bullish storm forever, Chip. You know, we're going to start at some point. The screw rumor is going to go away. The Brazil tariffs are going to go away. And the consumer demand is not good overall. And even though I know beef has been a sort of resilient, it is showing cracks in the armor. And I wouldn't bet on 2026 being a great year for beef demand.
Holy smokes. All right. Man, I enjoy these conversations. You give me things that I'll be thinking about for the next couple of weeks, and it happens every time, Sean. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thanks, Chip. Always a blast to be here, and thank you so much for all you do for U.S. farmers.
You betcha. Thank you for that. Sean Hackett, Hackett Financial Advisors. Hey, Davis and I'll be right back to put a wrap on today's AgriTalk.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400.
Remember when they used to ask, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" At Bank of America, we ask every day, "What would you like the power to do?" When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Hey, at Total Wine & More, you'll love what you find this Halloween.
Me thirsty.
Oh, hey, Frankenstein. Did you enjoy that Cabernet?
Oh, good. What margarita?
Well, all the villagers are raving about this tequila.
Ooh.
And we have it at the lowest price in town.
Economical.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly. B21.
This is for you. Now more than ever, it's crucial to manage risk and receive assistance with marketing. And why not meet in a fun atmosphere with other ag professionals for it? We invite you to head on over to Nashville, Tennessee for the annual AgMarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference. The general session for farmers, producers, and ranchers is February 1st through the 2nd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel. To register, head to AgMarket.net and click on the banner ad at the top of our website or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. So glad that you opted to spend some time with Chip Flory and myself, your pal, Davis Michelson. You know, Oliver Slope said something that made me think about you and me, buddy. And he said it in reference to the markets. But I think it applies to us. Markets work best when markets work together, you know, you and me and Stackler, just all merrily working along. It's great. It's great.
It's so much fun.
The end result.
As long
is
as
just
we can get the idiots to leave us alone, we're fine.
In that scenario, with that setup, solid gold radio is the result. You know, Stackler made it because I was mentioning earlier, hey, you can see us on Five Journal TV if you want to. Hey, if you're fancy. Of course, our bedrock, our foundation, our bread and butter, the beloved ag radio stations out there. You may be listening on your favorite ag radio station right now or on your preferred digital device, whatever. You may just be getting the audio. I'd be curious, Chip. If somebody could listen to the audio, like on their phone, and watch us on Farm Journal TV with the TV muted, I wonder what that experience would be like. I got to feel like it'd really be something.
It seems like I've done some of that with sporting events in the past when you can't stand the announcers and you got to go back to the hometown team.
Boy, it's all sports with you, isn't it? Just all sports all the time. You goaded me into the golf conversation this morning. You got me thinking about pickleball, which, you know, the more I think about it, seems like it might be just right for me, you know?
Yeah.
And here we go again. Somehow you've brought solid gold radio conversations over to sports.
Back to sports. Back to sports. Well, the World Series does start tomorrow night.
Well, now I may check in on that. Is it the stupid Dodgers? Is it the Dodgers and the
the
Blue
stupid
Jays?
Stupid Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Yes. Right. Yep. And I can't say the stupid Blue Jays.
Of course not.
Sean Haney is not going to be with us tomorrow. Sean lost a member of the family, and condolences to the entire Haney clan up there in Alberta. So we're thinking about you, Sean.
Yeah.
Thinking about you and your whole family.
Here, here.
So in other words, we really can't you know, not root for the Blue Jays because, you know, I kind of like Haney.
Yeah. He's all right. He's all right.
He's okay.
Yeah. We like him. Oh, now I get a message here from Joe Steckler. Apparently, I've been knocked off the Zoom, so you won't be seeing me. I pushed it too far. The AI got me. Shut him down.
As you were talking about it, you went to a still shot.
Seriously?
And I was just like, that figures. That absolutely figures. I'm going to have to watch that. I'm going to have to watch that right there.
Get used to it, Planet Earth. The AI overlords are watching.
Yeah, the powers that be. The powers that be decided that we didn't need your video anymore. And speaking of the powers that be,
yes,
according to Hackett,
they
have decided that beef prices are too high.
I was gonna take us there because we got a message from Oliver Slope that aligned with Hackett. Hackett was adamant. I counted five protects. He said, protect, 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 all in a row.
Yeah.
In reference to cattle.
Well,
and Slope said the same thing. If you're not protected, you...
Yeah. What more evidence do you need was the bottom line from Oliver. And I find, I mean, I can't argue with any of them. But I'm the guy... that every time we make a new contract high, which we've been doing for, you know, $100 over the last year, but every time it happens, I'm like, how can you not protect cattle at all-time highs? I've been saying use puts. I've been saying use the LRP. I've not been saying use futures. In this case, I wonder if some... Man, I don't know, because the cash is getting back to a premium to the futures. And when you've got the cash to a premium to the futures, I think maybe you do want to stick with the put options in the LRP.
Am I back on?
Thank you for the close-up there.
Is this thing working? Have we got it?
It is.
There we go.
It is working. Thank you. Thank
Hello,
you.
Everyone.
It's good
I'm
to
back.
See you back.
You can turn your TV sets back on now. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
So, yeah, protect.
Protect.
The other thing, a better bet coming on 2026 crop. Don't oversell the forward curve. I know that it kind of tripped your trigger just a little bit, that concept.
It did. You know, one thing to make sure that everybody understands what Sean was talking about when he said forward curve, you know, it's just how the next contract month is trading compared to the current. So how is March compared to D's? How is May compared to March? How is July compared to May? Okay. And basically what he was saying was don't get too far out on that forward curve with aggressive sales, because there's just a lot of uncertainty between now and when you're going to get your last selling opportunity on that 26 crop.
Right.
So give those opportunities time to develop. I think that's the bottom line message that we heard from Hackett. So, yeah.
Good strategizing today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Okay. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, October 29th through November 2nd. We've got above normal temperatures expected across most of Minnesota, the Dakotas, most of Nebraska, and western Kansas. Near normal temperatures expected southeast Minnesota, Iowa, most of Missouri, most of Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, and over into the southern areas of the eastern Corn Belt. Below normal precipitation expected in the western two-thirds of Iowa and points to the west of that, near normal to above normal to the east. Come back tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Randy Russell, Davis, and me.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. I'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Greatness is here. All 830 of our famous footwear stores now carry Jordan brand. So it's easy to score Jordan brand footwear and accessories, from hats to backpacks to socks, for the full family at a store near you. Famous Footwear's in-store fit experts will help you find the perfect style and the perfect fit. Because every day is a chance to make it famous. Come in and shop Jordan brand footwear and accessories at your local Famous Footwear store today.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
Attention passengers, we've reached 10,000 feet and internet is now available for purchase.
I just paid hundreds for this flight and you can't even throw in internet? I'll just take the free pretzels.
Sorry, but I do have snack boxes for sale.
I'm just gonna sleep.
In that case, we are selling pillows and blankets as well. I'll just breathe. That's free, right?
Life costs a lot, so bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. American ranchers say they aren't happy that President Trump is committed to buy more beef from Argentina. It's a boost to his political ally, Javier Milei, and White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said,
"President loves our ranchers and he also loves American."